the 23rd verse of the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Exalted to heaven, but damned in hell. We are all standing on the threshold of a tremendous eternity. A future is before us, a future either shining with triumph or shadowed by tragedy. Let our heart stop its beating, or one of the vital organs of our physical frame stop its proper functioning, and we will be gone. Gone. Gone to grapple with the stern truths of the great eternity. Truths that at the moment to us are in a sense unknowable and in a sense inconceivable. No wonder the Bible exhorts us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This evening, this week, I witnessed the passing suddenly of two souls into eternity. I went to the Royal Victoria Hospital early in the morning, about 12:30 on Wednesday morning. A young man who did a great work for God in the Knocknagony estate in this city, Brother Bob Cousins, taken into hospital on Monday, went unconscious Tuesday afternoon, and I stood with him in the last moments on early Wednesday morning. And as I saw that young man in his 39th year breathe his last and enter into the great eternity, I was reminded that there is only one life and it'll soon be past. And only what's done for Jesus will last. On Wednesday night, I attended a Protestant demonstration in Glengarmley. The leader of the Glengarmley accordion band led his band up the road to the meeting place, took Ellen away, was carried into the home of his sister, and in a few minutes passed beyond the river. And as I stood there in that home, as the doctor fought for his life unavailingly, I was reminded for a second time that I too stood on the threshold of eternity. The words that I want to take for my text this evening are solemn words. This text is no empty threatening. It is the language of divine inspiration, clothed with the eternal truth of the Christ who cannot lie. And it is backed by the omnipotent arm of unfailing justice, which eventually verified its veracity. If you look with me at this text, you will find that there are three things worthy of our careful and solemn and sobering reflection. Number one, we have the identity of the criminal. And thou, Capernaum. And the Lord Jesus Christ points his finger at a special place and at a special people to which he gives this awful and dreadful and soul-disturbing warning, the identity of the criminal. And then, secondly, in this text, we have the iniquity of the crime. If the mighty works had been done in thee that were done in Sodom, Sodom would have remained unto this day. But Sodom is buried in the depths of God's vengeance and in its baptism of eternal fire. The iniquity of the crime. And then in this verse, we have the intensity of the curse. Jesus Christ says, thou, Capernaum, exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. From the lofty perch of the door of heaven to the depths of eternal woe in the caverns of the damned. We want to consider these three thoughts this evening. The identity of the criminal, Capernaum. If you look at chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel, the portion that we read, you will find that Capernaum became the residence of the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of his preaching ministry. He left Nazareth, the place where he was brought up, because of their unbelief and their rejection of him. And he came from Nazareth to Capernaum. There he made his headquarters. It was from here that the Lord reached out in his earthly ministry for 3 years. In Palestine, there were no people more intimate with the Lord Jesus than the people of Capernaum. 4 months he went in and out among them. It became the scene of his labors and the center of most of his ministry. There was one town, one city in which the Lord Jesus was no stranger, and that was the city of Capernaum. He was well known there. And in this city, he exercised his gracious ministry. And here the poor had the gospel preached unto them. And here the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shone upon them. And yet this is the city that he identifies as the criminal. Could I say to you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is no stranger to you. You couldn't tell me this evening the first time that you heard his name. It is so long ago, in the early days of childhood. Perhaps it was a godly mother who taught you to lisp the Savior's name. Perhaps it was a God-fearing father who first instructed you and told you the story of Jesus. Perhaps it was a godly Sabbath school teacher or a fervent, zealous preacher of the gospel that first, through the message of the evangel, brought you face to face in confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is to you, my friend, you who are acquainted with Jesus Christ, you that could give a synopsis easily of his life on earth, of the place of his birth, of his ministry, of his miracles, of his mighty works, of the death that he died on the cross. You who could retell the story of his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. You who know the doctrines of grace by the head, but never have experienced them in your heart. It is to you that the Lord Jesus Christ addresses these remarks. He identifies you this evening. He puts his finger upon you. You who are the subject of many prayers. You who have been brought up in under the ministry of the gospel and know the story of redemption as recorded in the biblical revelation. You who are a child of privilege. You who have heard and heard and heard again the message of the gospel. It is to you that this text refers. It is to you that the trumpet blast of the warning of this text is referred. I want you to notice, secondly, the iniquity of the crime. Jesus Christ did mighty works in Capernaum. One day a little girl died in Capernaum, and the word went from lip to lip, from street to street, from home to home, that Jairus, the benefactor of the Jewish people, the man who built the beautiful Jewish synagogue in the city, that his little girl had died suddenly, died tragically. And Jairus was so respected that there was universal sorrow, that there was universal weeping, and there was a great dark shadow over the city. And Jairus sent a messenger to the Lord. The Lord was there, the Lord of life and the Lord of glory. And through the streets of Capernaum, there was a great throng. And you know how that throng gathered and increased. And Jesus Christ, in his sympathy and in his love, he didn't want the sorrowing ones to be troubled with that great throng. So he stopped the procession. And he said, "No one is to come with me." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and he made his way to the bereaved home. And in that home there was great weeping. In that home there was great mourning. And the Lord said, "Stop your mourning. Have done with your weeping." And he went into that room where death was. And Jesus Christ and death cannot dwell together. Every time Jesus Christ met death in his earthly ministry, death gave place to life. I want you to notice that. Do you remember one day he came up against a funeral procession, and death and Christ came together, and death gave place to Christ, and the young man arose? Do you remember one day they rolled the stone from the grave of the tomb of Lazarus? And Christ and death were once again face to face. And death must give place to Jesus. And Lazarus came from the tomb. And here was Jesus face to face with death. And he said, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And she arose. and from lip to lip, and from street to street, and from house to house, went the amazing story that the daughter of Jairus has been raised from the dead. The death has given place to life before the person of the wonderful Christ of God. The people of Capernaum had seen the mighty works of God. They had tokens of the evident workings of the Most High in their midst. They were personal witnesses to the fact of the mighty power of Jesus Christ. And yet, they believe not. Here we have the iniquity of their cry. And the Lord Jesus said, if I had gone down into Sodom and I had raised the dead in Sodom, if I had gone to that city, and the Bible tells me that the men of Sodom were exceeding wicked sinners before God, if I had gone to these wicked exceeding sinners and done these mighty works, Sodom would not have fallen under the sword of justice. It would have remained to this day. But thou, Capernaum, thou who hast seen my mighty works, thou who hast witnessed my acts of power, thou who hast seen the dead raised and those diseased healed, and the deaf getting their hearing and sight being restored to the blind. Thou, Capernaum, exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Here is the iniquity of their cry. This was a city of many privileges. I wonder how many privileged people are in this service this evening. I would rather perish and go to hell from some pagan tribe in South America that has never yet heard the name of Jesus, then perish from this most privileged city of Belfast and from this most privileged province of Ulster. And there are people in this meeting, and you have seen and seen and seen again the mighty power of God. Jesus Christ has been revealed amongst you by mighty signs and wonders in the power of his salvation. You have seen your friends transformed by his infinite grace. You have seen hardened sinners lifted from the gutter and set among the sons of God with lives transformed, with homes transformed, with outlook transformed, with their sinful habits smashed, and with God's peace and power evidently manifested within them. And yet you tonight, with all the evidence of the grace of God, are a Christ rejecter. You who have felt the power of the Holy Ghost in your own life, and there are many people here and they have been convicted of their sin. There are many people here and they have been targets of the Spirit of God in its divine operation. And they have felt as they have sat in the gospel service that they needed to come to Christ and they needed to be saved. And yet with all the praying and all the preaching and all the pleading and all the conviction, you tonight are a Christ rejecter, hardened in your heart, conscience seared as with a hot iron. You tonight sit in the place of a willful rejecter of the gospel. And that brings me to my last point, the intensity of our Lord's curse. Don't think that the Lord spoke here in anger. No, he spoke in sorrow. Don't think that he spoke in terror. No, he spoke in tears. There is a break in the voice of Jesus as he speaks here. And he says, woe unto you, Capernaum. I came to you. I made my home among you. I went in and out among you. I did my mighty works among you. I healed your sick. I raised your dead. I brought life and light to your darkness. And Capernaum, I have preached you and exalted you to the very door of heaven. What more could I do for you? And then he says, thou shalt be brought down to hell. And amidst the tears of Jesus, there comes the message of judgment. And I want to tell you, dear folks, tonight, you that have attended this ministry of mine for many years and are still unsaved, you who have been the subjects of divine and spiritual awakenings, you who know the way of salvation as plainly as I know it, there is a terrible judgment for you. Brought to the very door of heaven, brought to the very border of the kingdom of God. Of you it could be said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And yet this night, with all the grace of God, with all the workings of God, with all the manifested power of God, you still reject and repudiate and deny the seed. Let me tell you this evening, friend, there is judgment and doom ahead for you. I commenced this meeting by saying we stand upon the threshold of a tremendous eternity. Friend, that's where you're standing tonight. And the tragedy, you're there without hope. You're there without God. You're there without pardon. And you're there without peace. As I watched Brother Bob Cousins fight the last great enemy of the human race in a state of unconsciousness, I said to myself, thank God this man knew Jesus Christ. For what hope, what chance, what opportunity would there have been if he had been a Christ rejecter? If he had rejected the Lord of life and glory and departed in that manner swiftly and suddenly across the border into eternity. We know not what a day may bring forth. I could be preaching my last sermon this evening. You could be listening to your last gospel message this evening. Perhaps this is the last opportunity, friend, that God is giving to you for repentance. Oh, let me plead with you. Let me tonight adjure you in the precious name of Jesus to reconsider the folly of your heart, to reconsider the path of iniquity along which you're traveling. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they considered their latter end. Christ rejecter, consider your latter end tonight. Ending in a death without Christ. Ending in an eternity that never ends, in the blackness of hell fire forevermore. May God have mercy upon you. May you this night turn to Jesus Christ. And may the great woe of this verse and the great curse of this verse never be your portion. Thou, Capernaum, exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For of the mighty work that I did in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Oh, come, sinner, come, accept the proffered grace, for death may soon be calling you into her cold embrace. The harvest will be ended. The summer will be past. Your lamentation then will be, my soul is lost at last. May God save you this evening. For Jesus' sake, let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, this has been a solemn time. Thou hast been speaking to every one of us, warning us of our future, instructing us concerning our death and the swift passage of our life. O God, we have been in the borders of eternity twice this week. We have been looking over into the great beyond, and we have come away from those borders more assured than any ever before that man need to be ready for the sudden call of death and the sudden confrontation with eternal truth. O God, speak now in this service, in the closing moments. We remember these men and these women, these boys and these girls who have been brought up in the gospel and yet know not Christ, children with many privileges, men and women who have heard and heard and heard again, and yet tonight they're far from thee. Exalted to heaven, they shall be brought down to hell if thy grace prevent it not. O God, do something tonight. Lord God Almighty, work upon the souls of men now in this service, and bring them to the Savior. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, in this meeting this evening there are God's people. There are men and women here who know Christ, whom to know is life everlasting, saved by God's wonderful grace, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's a great thing to be saved. We might have been a Christ rejecter, but for God's grace. We might have been in hell tonight, but for the mercy of the day spring from on high who has visited us. Dear believer, would you pray tonight? Don't just bow your head, but lift your heart to heaven. Let every believer tonight cry to God, that God in this hall tonight may visit us, and that souls, precious ones, may come to the Savior. As the people of God are praying, let me say there are two other classes in this service. There are those here who are not saved by the grace of God, Christ rejecter. Yes, there are those in this verse of Scripture really applies to them. They have rejected Jesus Christ over and over again. Some of you are gray-headed and you're still on the road to hell. Some of you have been up the incline of life and you're going swiftly down now on the decline and you're not saved. Man and woman without Christ, close with Christ tonight. Jesus is calling you. Angels are waiting. The door of mercy stands ajar. Oh, enter before it's forever too late. You're so near to the kingdom of God, but you're yet outside the door. Will you come, my sinner friend, to Christ? And then there are those here in this meeting who are backsliders. They once knew and loved the Savior. They knew what it was to sing the new song. But they've got away and they're cold. And they're indifferent to that. And yet there's a longing there for the old joy and the old peace, the old way of living. He's married to the backslider. There's no divorce with God. Come home, dear backslider, to the Lord this evening. He's calling you afresh. He loves you still. Come home to him this evening. You say, what will I do? It's quite simple, friend. The way to heaven is via the old rugged cross. The way to that cross is the pathway marked confession. If we confess our sin, if you're a backslider, you've got to confess your backsliding. If you are a sinner, you have got to confess your sinning. Will you confess it now? You say, preacher, is that what I've got to do? Just bow my head and say, oh God, I am a sinner and I know it. Oh God, help me. Oh God, save me. That's what you've got to do. Oh Lord, I'm a backslider. I confess my backsliding. Oh God, forgive me. And return me to the Father's house. That's what you've got to do. Jesus Christ has done everything. You have just to acknowledge your need. Is there a man or a woman, a boy or girl sitting anywhere in this service, a backslider or a sinner, and you're acknowledging your need now? You're saying, yes, preacher, I am a sinner. Yes, preacher, I am a backslider. Well, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and the people of God are praying, if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl in this service, a backslider or a sinner, and you mean to close with Christ now, I wonder right now, would you lift your hand quietly above your head and take it down again, and we'll remember you in the closing prayer. Will you do it now? Yes, just do it now. Anywhere in this service, let me see your hand. That's right, friend. Don't be ashamed or afraid. Let me see your hand now. God is speaking to you. You need to come. Jesus Christ is calling you. Will you come now? Let me see your hand. Don't be ashamed or afraid. Just lift it above your head now and let me see it. That's right. Just do it now, friend.